Are you an H-1B visa holder? Do you have an I-140 petition approved or have an extension under AC-21 provisions? Are you on H-4 visa? If yes, we've got amazing news for you. As of May 26, 2015, you or your spouse on H-4 visa might be eligible for a work permit, aka EAD. And to apply, you need a lawyer who knows about H-4 visa issues. Lawyer Shah Parali has been at the forefront of this fight for H-4 rights and has actually helped make this dream a reality. Now, his firm is ready to help you or your spouse get their EADs. Call 510-742-5887 or visit www.splgpc.com to apply for your EAD. This is an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is created by this ad.
Beerables, Inc. is an e-solutions company that provides custom web design, web application development, and internet marketing services to individuals and businesses. They can build powerful e-commerce sites, mobile apps, develop content, and market you on social media. They can help manage your brand's reputation and provide rock-solid customer support. Call today at 1-800-651-6091 or email us at info@beerables.com for a free consultation today. Again, the number is 1-800-651-6091.
If you own a property and have a second mortgage on it, and if you want to keep this property and get rid of the second loan, attorney Shah Parali can help. Call 510-742-5887. Due to the uncertain economy, many people have settled their debts for a fraction of its value. It's recommended to use an experienced lawyer to deal with it. Shah Parali is an experienced debt settlement attorney and has handled hundreds of such cases successfully. There are no upfront fees for debt settlement. Only when you win, you pay. Call Shah Parali, attorney at law, at 510-742-5887 or visit yourdebtsettlementattorney.com for a free assessment. This is just an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is established by this ad. The law does not guarantee success. Call 510-742-5887.
And now, from the San Francisco Bay Area studios, KLOK proudly presents to you the prominent attorney Shah Parali for the Shah Parali Law Show, coming at you with over 50,000 watts of power. The Shah Parali Law Show, where all your views matter.
Hello, everybody. Assalamu alaikum, sastakal, namaskar to all the listeners. We are going to start the show with a couple of sad and bad news, but we'll kind of analyze the situation. First of all, the shooting in UCLA, our heart goes to the victims, and unfortunately, it seems like the person who is identified as the shooter, Maynak Sarkar, is from India. So now the question is, will that create a backlash against Indian students after the shooting? Unfortunately, knowing how the things are going now, there might be a backlash against Indians, just like we saw the backlash against Spanish undocumented when they had the shooting in San Francisco. Unfortunately, people tend to blame an entire community for the mistakes of a few, and our heart goes to the victims, and I think now they have two victims, one in Minnesota, one in UCLA, from what I understood, but I might be wrong. But there's a bigger picture here that we need to look into. For one, the backlash, but two, also intellectual property. We've seen this times and times again where people invent something or come up with something, others take credit for it. As much as I'm not blaming this person who was a victim, he probably didn't do anything, but this is something that does happen in the real life. We've seen a lot of people coming from abroad as immigrants, discovering things and making things, and it ends up by creating a big problem. Now it has come to really desperation and killing, which is very, very sad, because at the end of the day, the law is here to protect this person. He could have maybe if it was something of an intellectual property, but since he was a student, I don't know how much that will apply, but he could have reverted to the law or to the press to tell about his stuff. But the truth, going and killing on a killing spree is not the solution. It's very wrong, and no matter what community you are in. But unfortunately, because that happened from a person in our community, there will be a backlash. So we need to be ready for that and able to explain to the media and to the people, just because one person make a mistake doesn't mean the entire community is responsible. It's very important that that we do that. And this is something that we've seen a lot, Spanish community, Muslim community, now the Indians. Unfortunately, it has been really bad for Indians in the past few months in the United States, including retrogression, H-1B, schools closing down, et cetera, you name it. It's been really bad. So again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Attorney Sharp Rally for the Sharp Rally Law Show. We are broadcasting live from KLOK 1170 AM, and today I have Franco on the board with me, and anything I'm going to tell you today is for educational purposes only. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. And if the number to the studio today is 408-912-5565. If you have any questions when it comes to immigration, student visa, you name it, H-1B, I-140, anything relating to immigration, feel free to call, and hopefully Franco will put you through. And also, we had another situation where I'm getting a lot of calls because there was an article on BuzzFeed on NPU, and again, this is an article that was done by an independent investigating reporter. It has nothing to do really with the government at this point, but basically she was investigating a school in the Bay Area, and people will know what school I'm talking about here. Excuse me. The truth is that there is no official government investigation, as far as I know, against that school. So under the rules, under the laws in the United States, anybody is presumed innocent until proven guilty. So students should not panic. But I brought this to light on my YouTube videos, basically, and my podcast now, that there was this investigation and there might be more things to come. So students just have to be ready, know their rights. And on student visas, make sure you're compliant with everything. And now we have the STEM extension. You need to be ready for that, because that's another problem that a lot of students are facing. So ladies and gentlemen, today the show starts, unfortunately, with some sad news, the killing at UCLA. And it's kind of heartbreaking because a lot of students are there, young people, kids almost, and their lives are really affected, unfortunately, when these kind of things happen. And many of the students and the faculty, when it comes to research, are in our community. So we really sincerely present our condolences to the victims. At the same time, we hope that there will be no backlash against our community here. So having said that, now, I was also covering some issues that's happening recently. But I'm going to talk a little bit about some options on visas that many people don't know about, because now with the H-1B gone, what do people do, how they can stay in the United States? And the number to the studio today, ladies and gentlemen, is 408-912-5565, 408-912-5565. And if you're having some issues to reach us on the phone, please, you can call our office, 510-742-5887. But if you call the office for a consultation, it is not free, but on the radio, I might be able to give you a quick take on the case. So please feel free to call if you have any questions. Like I said, you can call on anything on immigration, including family petitions, including marriage petitions, parents petitions, you name it, and I will be glad to answer. Let me take one caller, Franco. This is Shah Prahi. You're live on air.
Hi, Mr. Shah. I had a question regarding change of status from H-1 to H-4.
Yes,
so if we are going from H-1 to H-4, how long do you have to be on H-1 while the process is running? Can you leave the job in between, or
yes,
when do they ask you to? Or can you leave the job in first and then apply for change of status?
No, you should not leave the job first then do change of status, because by leaving the job, that means you might have broken the status of the H-1. So what you do, you file the H-1 and have the check step up to that date that you file. You file the H-4, and while the H-4 is pending, you don't have to work because you're in a period of stay authorized by the Attorney General. You can choose to work or not to work, because H-1 is still a solid status, but the H-4, if you can choose to work or not to work once it's filed and it's received there and you have a receipt. So
Is acknowledged, so after that you can leave the job if you want.
Yes, because then you will be in a period of stay authorized by the Attorney General. But make sure you work until the last day when it's filed, because they will ask you for the check stubs, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, good luck to you.
Right.
Let me take another caller. This is Shah Prahi. You're live on air.
Yeah, hi, Shah. Thanks for the show. This is Santosh. I have a question. So my friend is from India, and he went to Australia, and he got a Australian citizenship. So what are all the options to come to U.S.?
Oh, that's a very good question. The E3 visa. If you are an Australian citizen, you can do the E3 visa. The E3 visa is very much like the H-1B, except since there are not many applications, it's open all the time. And the E3 visa also, the application is a little bit easier. You just have to do the LCA and the letter and submit it at the U.S. Embassy, and you can come here. And it works a lot. It has to have the same specialty occupation as the H-1, and that's pretty much it. But the E3 visa is a very good option, and if your friend need help, we can help it. But you need an employer, of course. But you can file it directly at the U.S. Embassy in Australia.
Okay, that means do we need any letters from the sponsor? For H-1, we need an employer, correct? In the same way, from that employer, do we need employment letter?
Yeah, you definitely need that. Because if you don't have that, then you don't get the E3. The E3 has the same conditions as the H-1, except you just have to have a letter, support letter, and the LCA. You don't have to file the form I-129, etc. Unless you are inside the United States, then you do it from here. Excuse me. But
okay, what about the green card process?
This is a tricky part with the E3. Technically, the E3 is not a dual intent visa. You cannot really file a green card on that. You can if you were not born in India. But if you are born in India, because of the waiting time, you will not get the E2 renewed. So the best solution is to shift to H1, then file the green card. But you can come on the E3 because it's open all the time. You don't have to really wait to get to have a quota or anything, because the quota is never met. They issue 10,000, but I don't even think they get 5,000 of it. So the E3 visa is a straightforward visa, actually, if you do it properly. And then you come here, you can shift to H1, and then you can file for your green card if you're from India. If you're not from India, you were not born in India, then the things are a little bit different. It's easier, okay?
Okay?
Tell him to call me if he needs help on the E3. I'll be glad to help you, okay?
Yeah,
good
sure,
luck to you. 510-742-5887. Franco is telling me that all the lines are on, so let me take another caller. This is Shah Prahi. You're live in here.
Hi, Shah. How are you? Good morning.
I'm good morning. How are you?
Yeah, hi. My name is Kavita. Actually, I have a question about my EB2 I-45 has been pending. So mine is a conversion case from EB3 to EB2. So we got approved last September 2015, and from then there have been no upgrade, and I went to InfoCAS and they told me that the case has been moved to Nebraska because everything is good and they're just waiting for the pre jurisdiction or something. I don't know what it is. So I opened an SRC and they sent me a note saying that we have to wait because it's in the pre-identification stage. I don't know what that means.
I'm not here. There's a background noise, so I didn't hear the whole thing. So you have, let me ask you if I understood properly. You file under EB2, the labor certification. What did you file at this point?
No. I filed I-485. My EB2 is approved in September 2015.
Okay.
And
you
filed.
Okay. So you are not from India, right? So you are not born in India.
I'm from India.
Okay, but how did you file the I-45?
Because it's been a conversion case from EB3 to EB2.
Oh, okay. Now I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, and you send the I-45 when?
Yeah, I-45, this is from 2007, November 2007.
Okay, and what is your priority date?
November 26, 2006.
Yeah, it's not current right now, so you won't get anything. Because since yesterday, it went back to 2004. So you just have to...
Yeah, I know that, but it's been pending from past 8 months. And I went to InfoPass and they told me that everything is done and it's in Nebraska right now. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Well, what you should do is that you should contact a congressman. Maybe they can unclog it. Because it's probably with security check. Security check is causing a lot of problem right now. And if you're not able to unclog it, just give me a call at the office. Let's see what I can do. But unfortunately, even they unclog it, they will say now it's too late because the dates retrogress. That's the sad news about it. But try to get a senator or a congressman involved in the case. They might be able to unclog it.
I already did.
Okay. But then...
Yeah, they're just still waiting. That's what he
does. Unfortunately, that's the sad news. As soon as it retrogresses, hopefully it will go back to around 2007, 2008 in the next few months, then they will unclog it. But this is the sad news that we are seeing, and that's why it's kind of upsetting and frustrating because they delay it and you get punished for it. So, I'm going to I'm trying actually. We have this petition online to kind of help people. Please sign that petition. I'm trying to push it again and see if we get some senators to support us because this is getting really frustrating. But unfortunately, at this point, unless we know exactly what is in the file, I cannot answer. You can give me a call at the office and bring me a copy of the file. I can review it for you and see if there was any problem that made this go such delay on this case. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Okay. 510-742-5887 is the number to our office. 510-742-5887 if you need some help. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Purali. You're live on air.
Hi, Mr. Shah. I have a couple of questions regarding the H-4 EAD.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So can I start a company on H-4 EAD and be the CEO and founder of it?
Oh, yes.
I can?
Oh,
and it doesn't have any limitations that
No limitation. In fact, if you had followed me for the years, because I don't know if you followed me before when I was fighting to make this law pass, I wrote a letter to President Obama, which was published actually. And that letter, one of the reasons we encouraged them to give H4 EAD is for people to open business, to become entrepreneurs and create startups, etc. So
okay.
I'm all behind you. Go ahead. It would be good. We can show them that exactly that's what we wanted the H4 EAD to come up. So go ahead. Become the CEO, and I hope you make a big startup, and I'll see you on the news. Okay?
Sure.
Okay.
That's great. And the second one is, right now, me and my wife, both of us have H1s. And so my wife just changed her job to a new company. And for her, she has an approved I-140 from the previous company, so she has to do the labor processing everything again. So am I eligible to move to H4 EAD now, or should I wait until her complete process has gone through and she gets the new I-140?
No, you can file under that old I-140 as long as it's there, or if she has passed 6 years, you can still get it too. And if you need help kind of putting it together, give me a call at the office. We'll handle it and we'll make it happen. Okay.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Good luck to you, and please do that. I want to hear from you next time that you made a big company. Okay? Good luck to you. Wish you all the best. So let me take another caller. This is Shah Pura. You're live on air.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing, thank sir? You for seeing this event.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for listening to me. What can I do for you?
Yeah, my question is regarding citizenship interview. Mm-hmm. So I haven't looked at the citizenship interview. I have something in 2 weeks, actually. So I was curious, how long does it take to prepare for the interview?
You speak English, right? There are 100 questions. There are 100 questions that they ask. I think they have given you a copy of that, right? Otherwise, I have it on my YouTube. You can just go over it. They will ask you 6 questions out of 10, and out of those 100, there will be 10 picked. If you know those answers and you can write and read English, you don't have to prepare a lot, but you just have to know those answers. For example, who was the first president, who is the Speaker of the House, etc. And I have it on my, if you go on my YouTube channel, you type citizenship interview, I put all the questions there.
Oh, okay, great. I have another question is regarding moving the interview date for my wife because she won't be able to come on that day. So I was curious, if I move the interview date to a later date, would that have any implication on the citizenship timeline and all that?
Yes, it doesn't have really an implication on the citizenship, but the timeline, yes, because the problem that you're seeing is they are overwhelmed, right? They are getting a lot. So if you push it, you might be, depending where you are, which place are you going to do the interview? Santa Clara, San Francisco, where?
Santa Clara
is pretty better because they move faster, but lately they have been getting so many citizenship. If you push it, you might get an interview for another 6 months. I would recommend not pushing it if you can, because pushing it is not a good idea. But if you were to push it, it's like 3 months to 6 months. Excuse me. Good luck to you. Sorry, thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm still getting out of a bad call. So thank you so much. Let me take another caller, Franco. This is Shah Pura. You're live on air.
Yeah, hi, Shah.
Hi.
Praveen.
Hi, Praveen.
Last year, I had applied my H-1B, and the client address has been up as an LCA. And we are about to respond an RFP for that. And what we realized is, of late, the client has moved a new address. So all the documents what we are going to respond would have a new address. So how do we tackle this issue?
Okay, you did what? An RFP?
Yeah.
I didn't understand. No, but what did you do? A new H-1B? A transfer?
Yeah, it's a fresh H-1B. Last year, quota, it got selected. And we provided a client letters which had an X1 address. But we are supposed to respond by this week, by next week. So we are preparing all the documents. But what we realize is client is moved to a new location, X2 address, within the same metropolitan city.
Okay. So the LCA will still be good. So you can explain, but your attorney has to do an analysis of the Simeo case to explain that. So it will require some legal writing. If you want, give me a call at the office. I can do the RFP for you. But as long as the LCA is in the same area, because you cannot redo the LCA. If they move outside, the case will be denied. But in this case, since they are not on, it's a different LCA, then you should be fine. It's not a different LCA. You should be fine to go ahead with the same. With the same LCA. So you just have to analyze the case, and the answer will be a legal answer. So your lawyer has to really kind of go over it in terms of a legal analysis, explaining that since there's no LCA to be changed, and although the address have changed, et cetera, et cetera. So it will require some legal analysis in the RFE. It's not a factual RFE. So you can explain that. As long as you explain that you're not moving outside the area, you should be okay. The LCA should be good, and as such, since it is the same client, you are meeting the requirements of the new FEL memo of 2010. So, And that, like I said, this is not a factual answer. You will have to do what we call a legal analysis. And if you need help on that, just give me a call. We can answer it for you. Okay?
Yeah, sure. I'll definitely give you a call.
Okay. 510-742-5887. Let me take another caller. This is Shavrali. You're live on here.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Is Krish.
Hi, Krish.
My question is regarding change of address during citizenship. My fingerprinting was done a month back. I'm waiting for my interview letter. I found a place. I bought it, and I'm trying to move next week. Do you see any complications, or just change of address as to post office is good enough, or should I really change, go to AR-11 form and call
them
and change?
Where are you moving? Are you moving a different county?
No, the same county, just different city.
Different city. Which city to which
city? San Jose to Cupertino.
Okay, you're still in Santa Clara. No problem. Go ahead, do your AR-11. It's very important. And print a copy and bring it with you at the interview, because failure to change address with the USCIS, they can deny your citizenship. So make sure you do that. And since the case is not going to move, it's going to stay in Santa Clara. It won't delay the case, okay?
Yeah. So they said I had to do AR-11 and also call them up and give the case number for citizenship and change the address on the case also. Both has to be done, or only AR-11 is good enough for
AR-11,
all the cases?
AR-11, you can do it online. Once you do it and you print a copy, that's good enough, because that's the requirement by law. Let them do the rest. You don't have to call them really there. You just have to do the AR-11, and then you already got the interview notice, right?
No, not yet. I'm waiting for it. It's more
okay,
than 2 months.
Then you do your AR-11. It won't affect your case, because ultimately your case is in the same area, okay?
Same area. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck to you, and good luck to you. Become a citizen, and don't forget to vote, okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I have more callers right now, but very interesting question. We had questions on different issues, including E3 visa today, which I'm really very happy to hear, because a lot of people have not been looking in this alternative as Australians. There are many alternatives to the H-1B which people don't know about. So you need to look into those alternatives. So I have few announcements. So I'm not going to take. I will be taking callers in a few if we have more, Franco. But before that, I wanted to discuss about some of the things that we are doing now. For one, we have started a podcast series called Immigration Law. It's on iTunes, it's on Google Music, Google Play, it's on TuneIn Radio, and hopefully it will be on Pandora, etc. soon. But it's on, and you can see the list on our blog, Immigration Legal Blog, or our website, attorneyonair.com. So we want you to go and check it, because I make short podcasts on issues, and I also have the YouTube videos that are helpful, but oftentimes the podcast doesn't have the same as the YouTube, but sometimes they are the same, but it all depends on how quick I can prepare something for people, because recently I've been kind of short on writing. It's been so busy, so I've been using those tools to reach out to the community, and they are very interesting, so I will recommend you subscribe on it on iTunes. You just type my name, Sharp Raleigh, on iTunes, and please subscribe to it, because more I get into that, then more I can give information to the community. And hopefully also the shows will be there. Some of them are already there on iTunes, so you can always re-listen to the shows on iTunes. So today, ladies and gentlemen, we are really kind of sad what has happened in UCLA, and I was talking about the backlash. Hopefully we will not see a backlash, because the truth is a lot of people are suffering here, and that doesn't mean they are criminals. Just because one or two person does something wrong, it doesn't mean all of the community is to be blamed. And I know this is going to happen, especially in an election year, and a candidate who really wants to take advantage of anti-immigration sentiments, that they will use that against people. And hopefully it will not be used, but we need to be prepared on that. Let me take one more caller, and then I'll move to the next topic. This is Sharp Rai. You're live on air.
Hi, my name is Preeti. I'm looking for some small information on H-4 visa.
Yes. Go ahead, Preeti.
Hi. I'm staying in the U.S. for the last 2 years on H-4 visa, and I'm making paintings and I wanted to participate in museum art fair to sell those paintings. So they're asking me for tax ID and or SSN number, but I have only ITIN. So my question is that can I sell paintings on ITIN or being on H-4 visa?
Well, that's a good question. Is your job a painter or is this a hobby?
It's a hobby, but it's a hobby.
Well, a hobby is like a passive income. Unless you're making millions on it, then it might become an issue. But technically, well, I hope you make millions because I'm hoping that maybe you should send some of your paintings. We can post them. But the truth is, technically, no, if you're doing like a hobby, they don't really make a big fuss. But if it is your profession, you're doing it on a daily basis, then you become a problem. It becomes more like buying and selling a house. It's not, unless you're a real estate agent, if you're buying, selling a house, it's passive income. So they're not very, very keen in hurting people doing that. Having said that, if you make it become something constant, like you are putting it online, you just started selling and you're taking care of like a business, then it becomes a big problem. But if it's just like you are exposing it in a gallery and people are buying it, it's not considered as working. But maybe you should give me a call at the office before you do that, if in case you're planning to sell a lot of them and you're going to make a lot of money, because then they might come back. But technically, at the end of the day, they cannot really do that, because it's not something that is to be done from that situation. So you should be okay. But just be careful and make sure that it's not a job. It's more like a hobby, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck to you, Priti. Wish you all the best and good luck with your paintings. So, ladies and gentlemen, now I'm going to talk a little bit about some other issues. One of them, of course, is another topic is debt settlement. Debt settlement is another thing that we offer as a service in our different department. And we are dealing with a lot of people right now who have second mortgages on their house or a line of equity, and some people are getting deals even if they have equity in their house. I repeat that, before it used to be hard even on people who have equity in the house to get the second mortgage settled. What is a settlement is basically getting rid of the debt and you pay only a fraction of it. For example, you're $100,000, we might be able to get rid of it for $20,000. And that's just an example here. We have done a lot of them in the past when the house market was going down. But now the house market is doing very well in the Bay Area. But I think in anticipation of some kind of crash or something, a lot of banks are still dealing with us to negotiate those debts. So if you have that and you want us to negotiate on those debts, give us a call, 510-742-5887. The website is yourdebtsettlementattorney.com. And also on business loans, business credit cards, if the business is struggling or have shut down, we might be able to negotiate those debts for you before you get sued. Because once you get sued and they get a judgment against you, guess what? It's going to turn against you, so you don't want this kind of things to happen. So we can help you on all those angles. And also for litigation, you don't want to go into a litigation sometimes, because at the end of the day, when you finish paying the lawyer, you might end up by having a lot of bills on your head, more than the debt itself. So what we do, we are lawyers, we bypass the litigation as much as we can so that we can negotiate and make a deal for you. And we can help you on credit card debts. We can help you also on some debts that are discharged. Now, what is happening also is a lot of debts that have been discharged in the past, that means they have not been settled. What the credit card company or other companies are coming back because they know now people having equity in their houses, etc. So they are coming and trying to sue to get that money. So just because they put discharge on that doesn't mean it's gone. It's unless it is discharged in a BK. I mean, just because they put the kids, I'm sorry, let me go back on this, because discharge is under bankruptcy. That's a different issue. What I'm talking about here, oh, people sometimes they see on their debts that the credit card company is not coming after them for years, and they just ignore it. They think it's gone. But now, and those people have houses or things like that, and now when the, when they know full well that they are a lot of money in the house, they're coming after the people and trying to sue them because they know they can put a lien on the house. So be careful. We can help you on those debts too. Let me see, Franco, do we have another caller? This is Shabra. You alive in here?
Hi. I have a question on H-1B.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is Reed here. I'm planning to take an appointment for H-1B for my current employer later this year. But I had a question that once I take an appointment and schedule it, and in case I switch job or do an H-1B transfer to another employer, how does it affect my scheduled appointment? Because I don't see any option to modify the appointment.
Well, before you shift to another employer, you have to have an approval in your hand, right?
Yes,
so
I,
if you book your appointment... You already have an approval?
Yes, I have my current approval, and it is valid till 2018.
Okay. So you did an appointment with the U.S. consulate for stamping,
yes.
Right? And in the meantime, when you were doing the appointment, you did a transfer, right?
No, I took an appointment for October, and I'm getting a new opportunity. So I'm planning to do a transfer. So I want to see how that affects. Like, can I do a transfer?
So is it
not?
A new H-1B?
No, I already have H-1B.
Okay, you took an appointment for October. Then if it is a transfer and it is not a new H-1B, you don't have any problem. You can just go there and explain it's not a problem because the system will register the new one. Make sure you bring all the transfer papers with you, the approval notice, and you don't have to change it. You can change it there.
Okay.
But that's why you should never make an appointment too early because sometimes the system will have issues for you to explain. But technically, it doesn't affect the case because when you go there, they will go by the latest 797, okay?
Oh, okay. So there should be no issue. I see. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I didn't say there will be no issue, but technically there should be no issue. But you know how it is at the Indian consulate, especially they are really kind of the U.S. consulate in India, how they are. But at the end of the day, no, technically you are going for stamping and your transfer was done properly. But bring all the paperwork of the transfer with you. If you're working for consulting company, etc., bring your end client, etc., okay? End client letter, I mean. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck to you.
You.
Good luck to you. Wish you all the best. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have another five more minutes with her, and then we'll have Amit on the line. So, we are talking a little bit about debt settlement. And debt settlement is, of course, another thing that is big coming right now with the economy going up and down. Bay Area is doing well, but other areas are not doing well. So it's like it's a very convoluted economy that we are having right now in America. And now with the political campaign year that we are facing right now, we don't know how next year will be. A lot of people ask me, okay, what will happen? What will happen next year? I don't know, personally. All I know is, depending who's going to win the election, will have big changes and impact on the immigrant community. And also, as I was mentioning in the beginning of the show, with all the problems that we are seeing with the anti-immigration groups really fighting against people, we have seen the backlash on Indian immigrants. And now, yesterday, they released a report saying almost 2 million Indian immigrants came to the United States in the past 2 years. It's going to have a bad impact. Unfortunately, people are becoming more and more anti-immigration. So things are getting very complicated. And if people think things are going to get easier, I doubt it. But having said that, the laws are still there, and we still need to use them to protect us. Unfortunately, this gentleman who committed this crime, he could have used the law if he was really being mistreated because it's an intellectual property stuff instead of going on a killing spree, which makes us look bad. So at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, there are many things that are happening out there. And in order for you to really kind of grasp what is happening. You need to kind of follow the news. And on immigration side, I have some good places where you can follow. If you go on our blog, immigrationlegalblog.com, immigrationlegalblog.com, and also on our main website, attorneyonair.com, attorneyonair.com, which goes on Pirali Law. We have a mountain of information to help you. And also now we have started the podcast, which is, I will recommend that you basically download it. It's free. It's on Shapirali. You can type Shapirali Immigration Law. It's on podcast, Google. It's also on TuneIn and many other places. And I try my best to update it. It's not the same show that you have here, even though sometimes I have the show that we're playing right now on those channels. But ultimately, what we are giving you is something different, because we are having a situation where, unfortunately, there's so much information going on out there, and the information are sometimes not very, very helpful, because a lot of people call me, they say they see this on forum, they see another thing on forum, and they don't know really what the people are talking about here. So I wish you best of luck on all your endeavors. And if you need help, call us 510-742-5887. And anything I'm telling you today is for educational purposes only. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any question. Again, please check our podcast and our YouTube channel. And the news for today also, don't panic for the university that you saw the article on BuzzFeed. And also, we will keep you updated if you basically subscribe to our newsletter or our YouTube channel. I'm going to update things as I can. And hopefully, if you need help on any immigration matter or debt settlement, as a matter of fact, please call us.